Sometimes we get studies out and you wonder what the relevance is. Sometimes you get a study out and the results kind of make you think for a moment about broader implications or what exactly they mean about us as Americans or us as human beings. And that has happened. We have a paper out that's called Passing as Black: Racial Identity Work Among Biracial Americans. It was published in the Social Psychology Quarterly. And in it, it says biracial Americans, people who are part black and part white, are now more often self-identifying as black rather than white. So we wanted to kind of open up this conversation about the being biracial, if there is such a thing. Can you be just two different races?
Is there a built-in ambiguity? I mean, can you go as both? Can you always choose?
That's a really good question, and you don't always get to choose. But joining us to talk about it, Michelle Hughes, who currently serves on the board of the Chicago Biracial Family Network. Are you freezing there, Michelle?
Yes, actually, I am.
She's also founder of the Biracial and Friends Social Group in Chicago. And also with us is David Matthews. He's the author of the memoir Ace of Spades. Good morning, David.
Hi, how are you?
Well, you know, Michelle, let me start with you because you are part of two groups in which biracial is part of the title. So clearly, I mean, is it safe to assume that you accept biracial as a title that works for people who are part black and part white?
Yes, you know, I often describe myself as a loud, proud biracial, and I certainly know plenty of people who do identify as biracial.
Well, David, what about you? Do you like the term biracial?
I don't know if I have a problem with the term biracial. I expect that in a few minutes we'll get into the nitty-gritty of it. I don't really have a problem with the term per se. The application of it and the practicalities of it get a little thornier for me, but...
Well, let's talk about those thorns. Why wait a few minutes? Let's get right into the nitty-gritty. Now, we have a comment from Leah Johnson, one of our listeners via Facebook. She's in New York, and let me read you what she says. She says, biracial is one of the most inadequate terms in the history of political correctness. Bi means two, and unless you're one of the magical people from whom no race mixing has occurred anywhere in your lineage, you're already multi-ethnic, especially if you're a black American whose family has been here since slavery. I identify as black because it describes my skin, not my genetics. Digging deeper, I also have white and native ancestry, so if I have a child with man of insert race here, biracial would be a ridiculous way to describe them. So David, maybe biracial is just a term that people use because there's no better one.
Yeah, I mean, it's an inadequate term, just like race is an inadequate construct, obviously. But it's about a lived experience for me. The analogy I always give is, you know, if you meet lots of people who identify as white, oftentimes they'll say, you know, I'm 5% French and 2% Dutch and 3% Native American and 20% Irish. And the argument I would make is, you know, unless you can claim some type of actual cultural influence from all of those things, you're just what's known in America as white.
Just dance a jig, you know, with your Irishness. I love that. Michelle, you know,
I just wanted to add to his point, though, but I would argue that's why a lot of people do identify as biracial. I do agree the term has some problems, but why do people do identify as biracial? Because if they actually have experienced both cultures and grew up in a multiracial family, they have a different experience than growing up in a monoracial family, as your listener on Facebook was describing. She was describing a monoracial family. I also want to make the important point that ethnicity and race are two different things, and Americans have a tendency to start saying, well, I'm part one-fifth French and, you know, one-fifth German and one-fifth African-American. Those are ethnicities. They're not races.
Right. And David Matthews, you're also not in control with how you're identified. I mean, my experience, and it's not racial, you know, I use a wheelchair, and when I went and lived in the Middle East for years, I was terribly concerned about, you know, constantly being identified as a person in a wheelchair and that it would set me back, and that was my experience in the United States. But what I discovered after being there for 2 years, people said, we don't notice your wheelchair. We notice that you're American, totally.
Right, and I think that's also an important distinction, is that I guess where it gets thorny for me with people who identify as biracial is that, in America at least, race is something that is determined by other people. Now, I can, much like the Tiger Woods of the world, Tiger can proclaim that he's Camblin Asian, or I don't know exactly what the word he uses is, But you put Tiger in the wrong car in the wrong street at the wrong time of night, and the officer who pulls him over, if he doesn't know who Tiger Woods is not going to care about those fine distinctions of what of how Tiger identifies himself. So for me, race is a phenotypic lived experience in this country where I can say I'm whatever I am, but the outside world will tell me based on its impression, just like you, John, they will say, here is a person in a wheelchair. And they will say, if they're sitting across from me at a job interview or a school admissions interview or walking down the street, this is a black man walking toward me, or a white man, depending on how that expression is lived. So that's really where I get into sort of a sticky area with people who say, well, it's up to me to determine who I am. That's a fanciful notion in America, and it would be wonderful if we could all say, this is what I am. But those determinations about race, you know, when the lady crosses the street or clutches her purse, they're not made on, you know, what you think you are. Those are determined by outside forces that, you know, in a country built on slavery, we have very little control over.
But, you know, the difficulty here, and we'll continue this conversation in a moment, but for the time being, for the last question, Michelle, the difficulty really arises in terms of, for those who are multiracial, what group do they fit into? And sometimes neither the black nor the white community will fully accept someone when they can't tell visibly which group they belong to. I mean, I myself probably to most people look white, although I'm like the little girl we played earlier, more of a tannish color. But when I you know, I grew up in a family in which African-American values and culture ruled our family. And therefore, I had trouble fitting into either group. Nobody knew how to interact with me. And that's where the difficulty arises.
Well, I think it arises for some people, but there are other people that fit into both groups, and because they are biracial, or have a much easier time being chameleons and making themselves comfortable wherever they are. Plus, if they've actually been raised in a multiracial family, they're very comfortable with both sides of their family, hence they can move amongst both groups and also work well within biracial groups. I would also have to add that identity does not have to be defined solely by what other people thing. And for many multiracials, because they are ethnically unidentifiable, that makes them have to identify themselves racially.
We're going to end it here for just a second. We'll continue the conversation in a moment. That's Michelle Hughes from the Biracial and Friends Social Group in Chicago and the Chicago Biracial Family Network, and David Matthews, author of the memoir Ace of Spades. We want to continue now with a conversation about multi-ethnicity, biracial, and how you identify. It comes from a new study that says Americans who are half white and half black are now, for the first time, more likely to self-identify as black than biracial or white if they're light-skinned. Join us again, our two guests, Michelle Hughes from the Chicago Biracial Family Network, also the Biracial and Friends Social Group in Chicago, and David Matthews, author of the memoir Ace of Spades. And I want you both to listen to a response from one of our listeners. This is Greg.
Hi, my name is Greg. I'm calling from New York City. I am in a mixed marriage. I'm Japanese, and my wife is European. The big thing is my children, forevermore, will be called Hapa Haoles. It's due to my Hawaiian upbringing. Hapa Haole means half white.
Which is kind of the same, to a certain extent, as saying biracial, although it doesn't tell you what the other half is. David, I'm just wondering, as Michelle was referring to, are there big advantages to multi-ethnicity that outweigh, perhaps, the disadvantages of confusion over identity or other people identifying you in, perhaps, in a way you don't appreciate?
Yeah, I mean, I personally, because of where I come from in America and the time, didn't experience any real benefits to it. I found it to be, frankly, a disturbing process of self-identifying and being identified by the outside world. But I could see in some circumstances how it could be. You know, but I think there are whole swaths of the country that have a really hard time with not only biracial people, but anyone of not the majority population, which is a whole other demographic trend. You know, I think that there's an underlying panic about the, you know, what was the date, 2050, where supposedly white America will be in the minority for the first time in this country. And I think that plays into sort of people's willingness to identify at a certain point. There's been a tipping point where all of a sudden it's like, hey, we might actually be the minority, and this might not be a bad thing. The power structure might tip in our balance just in terms of sheer numbers. So maybe it's time to be out and proud.
Michelle Hughes, maybe you could comment on why you think that we've reached this tipping point of people choosing to self-identify with black. Do you think President Obama has something to do with that? Is it just our changing demographics?
Well, I actually disagree with their premise. I think that biracials have always preferred to identify as black and were forced to identify as black. I actually think more biracials are identifying as biracial, multiracial, or mixed race than they ever did before. I don't think, I mean, while there have always been some biracials who identify as white, they've always been in the minority.
Well, I mean, historically, there's been a legal definition, whereas if you had one drop of black blood in you, you were legally identified as black. And then there was a certain amount of contempt for those who would supposedly try to pass as white. And now this particular study is called Passing as Black, which I wonder if that carries the same sort of air of contempt as passing for white. Is there some advantage to identifying as a black person at this point that people would do that for their own benefit?
I think that most biracial, when you're talking about biracials identifying as black, if they have been immersed in the black community at all, it is beneficial within the black community to identify as black, because much of the black community traditionally has been hostile to you saying you're biracial. I actually have found in the last 10 years that the black community is much more accepting for you to identify as biracial than they were 10 years ago.
Well, David, let me get your response, but also a little bit of advice from both of you. Let me read this response from one of our listeners, Bradley PH. He wrote at our website, "I know this might sound more controversial, but I have no race or culture. I'm so mixed with different races, I wouldn't begin to know where to start. And as far as culture, my family was stripped of that while some of them were slaves. So would black being the unknown best describe me? I guess." So David, what is the answer here? How does one identify oneself? Do you always hit the other box?
I don't hit the other box because my upbringing, you know, my dad was a black revolutionary, and despite the fact that I looked white, I always hit black just because I want to make sure federal money for public schools and demography sort of counts me as a brother. But that's just my sort of contrarian nitpick. I could easily pick other or biracial if I chose to. I just decide not to. In answer to, I think his name was Greg, for me, Greg's, the answer is obvious. You know, I haven't seen him, but if he feels as though his culture has been stripped from him by the legacy of slavery, you know, my knee jerk is to say that Greg is a black American, because that's sort of the common link experientially of black America, is this idea that sort of culture has been something that was taken from you. Now, you could also argue that everyone who comes to America after a few generations has had their culture stripped and are simply Americans. That's another distinction and another argument, though.
So do you think Americans are more concerned with these kinds of details? We got some responses on our website from places outside of the U.S. who are saying, why do you make these boxes to begin with? David?
Completely American fantasy.
Yeah. Michelle, would you go along with that? I think it's a very American thing.
I've traveled in other countries. I've been to the Caribbean, and they are as race-obsessed as we are. They interpret it differently. And there's a great book called Pigment of My Imagination by a biracial author who travels to 5 different countries. And it's actually sort of fascinating, because in some countries she's black, in some countries she's biracial, and in some countries she's white. And she lets the people identify her. And all she does is get on a plane, and her race changes.
Huh. Michelle Hughes, on the board of the Chicago Biracial Family Network, founded the Biracial and Friends Social Group in Chicago, and David Matthews is the author of the memoir Ace of Spades. And we really want to hear your responses on this. If you are multi-ethnic, how do you identify yourself, and what do you think about this perhaps American obsession with those boxes on our driver's license applications and census form? How do we self-identify? Do we get the opportunity to do so? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post a comment at thetakeaway.org, or you can get really fancy and use your Takeaway iPhone app and take a picture of your multi-ethnic family. However you do it, give us your thoughts.